إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My dear brothers and sisters and elders, we continue with our series of khutbas on the questions that we will have to answer, the questions of the grave, and then the questions that we will have to answer on the Day of Judgment. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to answer these questions and to help us in this answering of these questions. And as I remind myself and you again and again, over and over again, is that the answering of these questions is not a matter of memorizing the answers, but a matter of actually living our lives according to a method. And that method is called Islam. And what is Islam? What is the name of that road? As-Siratul Mustaqim. And that Siratul Mustaqim is whose road? The road of? Give me one name. You tell me the whole world except the one name. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. It is also the way of the Nabiyeen, wa Siddiqeen, wa Shuhada, wa Saliheen. Of course, your answer is not wrong, but I'm saying that let us be very focused on that. And that is the question that we will be asked. And the question is, what do you say about this man who was sent amongst you? And it is in that context that yesterday, last week, we spoke about who is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I read out for you the translation of the beautiful description of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made by Umm Ma'bad radiallahu anha when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu and their guide met her on their way from Makkah to Medina during Hijrah. This week we will look at some of the key issues when we say who is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we say that we believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the meaning of that? When you say, I believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what does it mean? So a quick recap about what we believe about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those of you who are interested, and you should be interested in a detailed dissertation of all these points, you should see the Aqidah series of lectures, which is on YouTube on our channel. So see that, because that deals with all of these matters in great detail. Obviously, here I'm not going into that much of detail, but we will touch on all the essential parts of Iman on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as I said, we want to recap and say that what is it that we believe about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what must we believe about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because these beliefs are part of our creed, they are part of our aqidah. And denying them or not believing them renders us out of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. It is very important to understand this. All it takes to get into Islam is one sentence. What is that sentence? La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. That's it. That is it. And to get out of Islam is equally easy. It's not difficult. You won't suddenly start. You won't suddenly sprout horns or grow a tail or something if you leave Islam. So don't look for external signs. If the belief changes in the heart, if the aqidah changes, then we are in serious trouble. And people may not even know. Others, how will others know anyway? Because the aqidah is a matter of the heart. So therefore, be very, very careful with regard to the aqidah and ensure that you are on the right aqidah and that you remain on the right aqidah. Being on it and remaining on it are two different things. So let us be on it and let us remain on it. Inshallah, we ask Allah to help us in that. So the first part of the aqidah about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that he was the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and that he was the last and final messenger. Both of these are part of believing in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the messenger of Allah. This belief in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as being the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being the last and final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, La nabiya ba'di wa la ummata ba'duk. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. He said, there is no nabi after me and there is no ummah after you. And why did he say la nabiya ba'di instead of la rasul ba'di? Because every rasul is a nabi, but not every nabi is a rasul. And therefore, if he said la nabiya ba'di, he is automatically cancelling out the issue of somebody being a rasul. Because you cannot be a rasul without being a nabi. But you can be a nabi without being a rasul. And the differences and so on and so forth. Look at the Aqidah lectures. I don't want to go into all of that now. But suffice to say that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no nabi after me and there is no ummat after you. And therefore we are the last ummat to come before the day of judgment. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us the best of those who came before us. So anyone who ascribes to any person other than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this matter of being a Nabi or Rasul has left Islam. Similarly, anyone who ascribes to anyone other than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam those qualities and attributes which are particular to him as the receiver of wahi from Allah, that person also exits Islam. And therefore we reject all those who claimed to be prophets after Rasulullah ﷺ. For example, including but not exclusively, meaning that including but this is not a final list, the two major names which we all know, one is Musaylimah al-Kadhab and the other one is Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani. We reject them and we reject their followers as being from their religion, not from Islam. Rasul Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu said this about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as being the last and final messenger and the seal of the prophets, where he said in Suratul Ahzab, the famous ayah number 40, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, ma kana Muhammadun aba ahadim mir rijalikum. وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not the father of any man among you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had only surviving daughters, and finally the only daughter who survived him was Sayyidah Fatimatu Zahra radiallahu anha, and therefore the lineage of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes from her children. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sons, but none of them survived him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not the father of any man among you, but he is the messenger of Allah and the last of the prophets. In English, when we translate, Rasul is translated as messenger and Nabi is translated as prophet. And Allah is ever all aware of everything. Point number two, as part of our aqidah about Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that he was divinely inspired, that he was the recipient of revelation from Allah, that he was the recipient of wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى ذو مرة فاستوى وهو بالأفق الأعلى ثم دنا فتدلى فكان قاب قوسين أو أدنى فأوحى إلى عبده ما أوحى ما كان الفؤاد ما رأى ما كذب الفؤاد ما رأى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, by the star when it goes down, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took an oath by the star when it goes down, your companion Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has neither gone astray nor has he erred. There is a whole asbabun nuzul of this ayah, there is a whole all the incident circumstances, why this surah was revealed, why these ayat were revealed and so on. We will not go into that here, but you should read that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, by the star when it goes down, your companion Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has neither gone astray, nor has he erred, nor does he speak of his own desire. He does not speak of his own desire. Whatever he tells you is revelation that has been revealed to him. He has been taught this Quran. Look at this ayat. This is a complete blanket ayat which refers to everything that comes from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he has been taught this Quran by one mighty in power, Dhu Mirrah, which means free from any defect, whether body or mind, Fastawa, who is firmly established. While he approached, while he was in the highest part of the horizon, and this refers to the vision of Jibreel alayhi salam, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam saw on the horizon. Then he, Jibreel, approached and came closer, and was at a distance of two bows length or even nearer. So did Allah convey the revelation to his slave Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam through Jibreel alayhi salam. The Prophet's heart, the Nabi's heart, did not lie in seeing what he saw. Third point, that he sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the lawgiver and has absolute authority from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to permit or prohibit whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him to do. Some of these permissions and prohibitions are in the Quran, others are not in the Quran, but they are prohibited because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited them, and they are permitted because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam permitted them. And that's another important thing. When you see the Aqidah series, you will realize that, and that's why I'm strongly suggesting you see them. All of those things are free, just all you need to do is to spend some time and watch those videos. Big fitna in the minds of the Ummah today, where people say, where is it in the Quran? Show me in the Quran. Eating dog, is it haram or halal? Show me in the Quran. Hey, you said halal. Somebody said halal. Not you. Obviously you won't say it. You get the point I'm making? And I can tell you a list. I'm not going to do that now, but I can tell you a whole lot of lists of things which are not in the Quran, but they are qat'i haram. There is no doubt in the mind of any Muslim anywhere that this is haram. It's not in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to put whatever he wished in the Quran, and he chose to teach his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam whatever he wished, and he then instructed him to teach us that, and he instructed us to take whatever his Nabi gave us and to leave whatever his Nabi told us to stay away from. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said, third point, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the lawgiver and has absolute authority from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to permit and prohibit whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him to do. His commands are to be obeyed without question, and they are not to be disobeyed. And this is a condition of faith, meaning that if you disobey a direct command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you exit Islam. Dalail for that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, once again, there are more, but I am keeping them short because this is Jumu'ah. Allah said in Surah An-Nisa, Fala wa rabbika. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath by himself. Fala wa rabbika la yu'minuna hatta yuhakkimuka fima shajara bainahum thumma la yajidu fi anfusihim harajam mimma khadayta wa yusallimu taslima. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, but no, by your Rabb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath by himself. Allah is saying, no, by your Rabb, they can have no faith, meaning they are not Islam, they are not Muslim, they have no faith, until they make you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a judge in all disputes between them, and they find inside themselves, in their hearts, no resistance against your decisions and accept them with full submission. I draw your attention to a very important part of this ayah. You know and I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not hold us accountable for what we think. He does not hold us accountable for our desires. So if there is a thought, if there is something in our heart, then inshallah al-musta'an, we are not culpable, we are not punishable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until we express it either in words or in action. So if I decide to tell a lie, but I don't tell a lie, actually I get one hasana. The fact that I decided to do something wrong and then I change my decision, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes a good deed to be written in my book of accounts. And this is the mercy of Allah Jalla Jalalu. But in this particular case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that not only must we accept the decisions and orders of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we must not even think against them. Not only not accept, we must not even have any resistance against them in our hearts. So please take note. Today we seem to have tongues which have completely no moorings whatsoever. So we say whatever comes to the tongue. Be very, very careful. Once you have said it, it is actually action. So then you are seriously culpable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, don't even think about it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا خَضَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةِ أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it is not for a believer, man or woman, when Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have decreed in a matter, that they should have any opinion in that decision. It is not for them even to think against that decision. It is not for them to say, well, this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but I have another opinion. Even to have an opinion, even to have any other option is clearly prohibited. And whosoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has indeed strayed in plain error. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Dalalam mubina. And that's from Surah Al-Ahzab. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nur, the ayat which I already, in Surah An-Nur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إنما كان قول المؤمنين إذا دعوا إلى الله ورسوله ليحكم بينهم أن يقولوا سمعنا وأطعنا وأولئك هم المفلحون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and all that the believers say and should say when they are called to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that He may judge between them is that they say سمعنا وأطعنا, we hear and we obey. And it is these who are successful. And then of course the ayat of Surah An-Najm, which I recited for you earlier, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, does not speak out of his own desire. What he says is nothing but the revelation, the wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَنْ يُطِي الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاءَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ تَوَلَّ فَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا. And whosoever disobeys the messenger, disobeys Allah. And as for those who turn away, we, Allah is referring to Himself, Jalla Jalaluhu, we have not sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a guardian over them. It's therefore the belief of the Muslims that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received wahi in terms of its word, meaning the Quran, and in terms of its explanation and meaning, which is the ahadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that part of wahi which we call wahi ghair matlu', wahi which is not recited in salah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu promised to preserve both of them. Just think, how else could it be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises to preserve the word but not its meaning? Allah promises to preserve a hukum, but not how it is to be carried out. Allah, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promise only to preserve the word salah, or also the methodology of how salah is to be established? Is only aqimus salah preserved, and what is salah is not preserved? Is only zakat, the word zakat is preserved, and is it left to us to scratch our heads and say, what could zakat mean? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that zakat is an essential part, it's a pillar of Islam, but what really does it mean? Is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to preserve His command to say that do hajj to Baytullah, and then you are left in complete blankness with regard to what is the meaning of hajj? What are the arkan of hajj? What must I do? Hajj to Baytullah means tawaf of the Kaaba? Is that what it means? What are the arkan of hajj? Seriously ask this question, because today there are people who are trying to sell you this completely insane line to say that the Quran, leave us the Quran. That term is wrong. You should say leave us the wahi. Then you can't go wrong. Leave us the wahi. The wahi has two parts, matlu and ghair matlu. The word and its meaning, the instruction and its demonstration. Then you are on safe ground. But if you say leave us the Quran, you are saying leave us only one part of the wahi. So effectively, what are you saying? You are saying I accept some of the wahi and I reject the others. Then if you do that, then see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about them in Surah Al-Baqarah. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do you take some of the wahi and leave out the rest? What did Allah promise them? خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاتِ الدُّنْيَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I promise you hardship in this dunya. Promise you hardship in this dunya. And on the day of judgment, what will happen? You will be returned towards أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ, the worst of the punishments. Let me clarify also for you the thought that creeps into the minds of some people, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is to be obeyed only in what they refer to as religious matters. And they trot out the famous incident of the manual pollination of date palms, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned in passing, when he saw people cross-pollinating date trees, he had come from Makkah to Medina. In the early days, he did not know anything about date cultivation. So he saw the people cross-pollinating the spates, the date trees. And he asked people, what are they doing? So they said, this is what they are doing. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I don't think that really makes any difference. And he went his way. Now the Sahaba were such that they didn't even ask. If somebody said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, they never even asked, did he really mean it? Should I do it? Should I not do it? If he said it, they did it. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by a house in Medina. It was a two-storied house. And when he passed by this house, he looked up at the house and he, by his facial expression, he did not even say anything. By his facial expression, they could see that he disliked this second story. He didn't like this big house. So somebody went and told the owner of the house, the Prophet ﷺ passed by your house and he looked at the second story, he didn't like it. So what did the man do? Did he come and say, Ya Rasulullah, here are the drawings of the elevation, do you want me to change it? The man knocked down the second story. He demolished the second story. Somebody came and told Rasulullah ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah, he has done this. He called him, he said, why did you do that? I didn't tell you to do that. I didn't tell you to demolish your house. Why did you do that? He said, Ya Rasulullah, somebody told me that you didn't like. They looked at your face and you expressed dislike. I don't want to live in a place which you don't like. You don't have to tell me anything. This was the secret of the success of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. This was their success. This is what made them great. This is what put the power into their dua. That when they asked, their Rabb never refused them anything. They worked for it. Didn't come by birth. Didn't just drop from the heavens. They worked for it. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in passing, I don't think this will help. They stopped pollinating the trees. Then somebody came and told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They said, Ya Rasulullah, they have stopped pollinating the trees. He said, why? He said, because you mentioned this. Because you said this. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you know your worldly matters best. Do whatever you think is best in that. But when I tell you something about the deen, hold fast onto it with your molar teeth. Bite hard, hold it so hard. Now people in their ignorance, they claim that this means that we are free to disobey the ahadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where they relate to whatever we consider to be worldly. Now this is far from the truth. This particular incident, as I mentioned, refers to his having made a remark in passing and not to any order or instruction that he gave. Understanding both the fact that deen is the entire gamut of our life in every aspect of its relevance to us. And therefore, it is relevant to us in this world and the next. And also understanding the position of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the lawmaker, we need to get it perfectly clear that all instructions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all instructions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are to be obeyed, and they are not to be disobeyed, no matter what they are. Because only then can we say that our whole life is deen. It is not left for us to decide that this instruction of the Prophet ﷺ is important and this one is unimportant. To say that, to believe that, is to dishonor the position of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To say that some instruction that the Nabi gave is unimportant is to insult Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My brothers and sisters, there is no scope whatsoever for disobeying Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in anything that he ordered, because that would negate the very purpose of Allah in sending him as his messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the messenger to be obeyed completely without question, not selectively at our discretion. Selective obedience is disobedience. And so if he sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave any instruction, no matter what its nature, it is to be obeyed without question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam free from any responsibility of convincing people and free from their compliance. And he told him that his job is merely to convey clearly, and that the evil of disobedience to his teachings would rest on the shoulders of those who disobey. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ أَتِيُوا اللَّهَ وَأَتِيُوا الرَّسُولَ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْهِ مَا حُمِّلَ وَعَلَيْكُمْ مَا حُمِّلْتُمْ وَإِنْ تُطِيعُهُ تَحْتَدُوا. The one who obeys you will be guided. وَإِنْ تُطِيعُهُ تَحْتَدُوا. The one who obeys him will be guided. The one who disobeys him misguides himself. وَمَا عَلَى الرَّسُولِ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. Allah said, say in Surah An-Nur, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, obey Allah and obey the messenger. But if you turn away, he, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is only responsible for the duty placed on him. And you are responsible for the duty placed on you. What is the duty on the Prophet ﷺ? To convey. What is the duty on us? To accept and obey. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you obey Him, you will be guided. You will be on the right guidance. The messenger's duty is only to convey in a clear manner. But those who disobey Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned their state when they will see the result of their disobedience when they meet Allah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from this fate, because there is absolutely no good of understanding this at that time. The time to understand the importance of this is now, so we can make some changes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the fate of those people who disobey Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When they realize the meaning and value of that disobedience, when they stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, يَوْمَ إِذٍ يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَعَصَوُوا الرَّسُولَ لَوْ تُصَوَّى بِهِمُ الْأَرْضُ وَلَا يَكُتُمُونَ اللَّهَ حَدِيثًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, on that day, those who disbelieved and disobeyed the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam will wish that they were buried in the earth. But they will never be able to hide a single fact from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set clear parameters for those of who is a Muslim and who is not a Muslim. Who is a Muslim? The one who is rooted in his faith and his action emanates from that. A man, a woman who is rooted in faith-based action. It is not merely sufficient in Islam to know something or to claim something. All Islamic knowledge and claims must be translated into action for them to benefit the individual. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. Only those are the believers who have believed in Allah and His messengers, and afterwards they do not doubt. Who believed and do not doubt. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. But they strive with their wealth and their lives in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those are the ones who are truthful. I want to end with an experience that happened to me last Jummah. I was invited to participate as a witness for a little function that happened here. Two of our young brothers and their mother, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them and bless her, they have been running a class for the little ones. Somebody suggested that I should run this class, and I did it one day and I got terrified, so I left it. They are dangerous. Anyone above, below the age of 10 should be left strictly alone. But these two young men and their mother took it upon themselves to run this class, and they have been running it for several weeks. And last Jummah was their graduation. So they kind of closed. I'm using the American term graduation. In America, the only good thing about American education is you graduate many, many times. Right from your nursery school onwards. So we went to this graduation. And in that graduation, these two guys, they asked us to do an exercise, and I'm going to describe that exercise for you. Which literally, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my witness, which literally cut the ground from under my feet. It was a good thing I was sitting, otherwise I would have fallen down. The exercise they did was, they gave us all writing pads and pencils. Not pens, pencils. And then the young man said, please write one thing that you will do starting today, which you don't do. One good thing that you want to start doing today. Do the exercise for yourself. Just mentally, you don't have pencils and so on now, but mentally do it now. Participate in this. So think about this. One thing that you decide to do starting now, which you don't do till now, but you decide to do starting now. You got it? Okay. The second thing he said is, write down one bad thing you did, one sin you committed deliberately. You knew it was wrong, but you still did it. He said, write it down. He said, you don't have to show it to me. You don't have to show it to anybody. You don't have to tell anyone. Just write it down for yourself. One sin that you committed when you had a choice. You could have avoided, but you didn't avoid. You committed the sin. Right? So, everyone written down now? Clear in your mind? And then he said, what you did just now is a snapshot of what will happen on the day of judgment. He said, that piece of paper in your hand is your book of records. He said, with one difference, on that day you will not need to write this. It will be written for you. It will be written for you. He said, on the day of judgment is exactly this will happen in a big way. You will get this book written for you. And then he said, what did you use just now to write these things? So we said, pencils. He said, what does it mean? We said that we can rub it out. He said, yeah, you can rub it out. Are you rubbing it out? Yes? You know what is the meaning of rubbing out? What is the meaning of rubbing out? Huh? Tawbah. Tawbah, repent. Tawbah. Subhanallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am particularly fortunate. I am the most blessed among all of you. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me the honor of being instructed and taught by these little shuyukh who are one third my age. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Because this is my inshallah guarantee for my future. That when I die, they will make dua for me. And I ask my Rabb to listen to them. And I ask my Rabb not to look at me, but to look at what they say about me. I ask my Rabb to cover me like He has covered me. And I ask them, make this same dua for you. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless them in ways that they cannot even imagine. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the doors of His treasures for them. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give the keys of His treasures into their hands. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to light them as beacons of guidance for all of mankind. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make them the source of goodness and sadaqatul jariyah for their parents. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept their du'as like He accepted du'as of His anbiya and His awliya. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include them amongst His awliya. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include them among those who will be given special honor and ikram by being placed on thrones of pearls under the shade of His arsh on the day of judgment. On a day when there will be no shade except His shade. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them all that I asked and to give them all that I did not ask purely by His grace and His kindness and His majesty and His mercy. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajmain bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.